Well, good morning, everyone. Good morning, everyone. If you would please stand, grab a hymn book, and we want to turn to page 281. Page 281. Jesus saves. Let's sing the first, second, and last.
We have heard the joyful sound. Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Spread the tidings all around. Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Bear the news to every land. Find the steeps and cross the way.
Good to be here where we can exalt His name, lift up the lovely name of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And I just wanted to pass on, we've got some very good reports from Argentina in the track distribution there in Buenos Aires for the Youth Olympics. We heard this morning through Ms. Provey that very, very good reception from the folks there last night and at the opening ceremonies and all handing out the tracks and the reaction from the Argentine folks that were part of it was that's very unusual. The Buenos Aires people are usually not receptive, but seem that God is on the scene, opening doors. So please continue to pray next 2 weeks or the tracks, as long as the tracks hold out. And for the safety and so forth of the team, we rejoice. Brother Bruce, Brother Tom, David and Kelsey, and the Argentine folks involved, and the rest of the team from the States, of course. Well, hey, let's take a couple minutes, welcome each other and the Lord. It's good to see you. Please, church family, get around and welcome our visitors.
Thank you.
All right. As you make your way back to your seats, let's also turn to 395. 395.
I have a song that Jesus gave me. It was sent from heaven above. There never was a sweeter melody. It's a melody of love. In my heart there rings a melody. There rings a melody of heaven's harmony. In my heart there rings a melody. There rings a melody of love.
On the last,
'twill be my endless theme in glory. With the angels I will sing. 'Twill be a song in glorious harmony when the courts of heaven ring. In my heart there rings a melody, there rings a melody with heaven's harmony. In my heart there rings a melody, there rings a melody of love.
You can be seated. Once more, and let's turn our hymn book to page 337.
When we walk with the Lord, when we walk with the Lord, in the light of His word, what a glory.
the second. Not a shadow can rise, not a cloud in the skies, but His love quickly drives it away. Not a doubt or a fear, not a sigh nor a tear, can abide while we trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. On the last, then in fellowship sweet, we will sit at His feet, or we'll walk by His side in the says we will do. Where He sends we will go. Never fear, only trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Amen. Please be seated.
Good morning, Metropolitan Baptist Church. Good to be with you this morning. And visitors, good to see you. Thank you for joining us. Man, could you please come forward for the offering? Announcements for today. October is a pastor's appreciation month. We do have a basket at the Welcome Center. If those of you that want to give a card or just to show or a note to show your appreciation to pastor, I very much am thankful for our pastor. I get to work with him every day, and it is a blessing. I think I broke a toilet the other day, and he didn't get mad at me, so. In fact, he helped me fix it. So I'm thankful for our pastor, Miss Marsha, and they're a blessing to me and my family, and I'm so thankful for them. Friday night, October the 12th, we're going to have fellowship again. And I know I play around with my basketball skills, but I really do have basketball skills. So if you want to come check them out, anybody can come. The ladies, they sometimes when we don't play volleyball, the ladies don't play basketball. But sometimes when we don't play volleyball, the ladies just have fellowship, and it's a blessing. You know, it's a time to come together, and anybody who wants to come is welcome to come. We have the missions conference, of course, coming up October the 17th, 18th, 19th, and the 21st. There will be 9 a.m. service and 7 p.m. services on the 18th and the 19th. On the 21st, we'll have that fifth Sunday set up. Please bring a pot. It'll be a potluck. Bring your own food and sides. And I don't know why they keep on forgetting to put dessert on here. I'm going to have to talk to my wife. And we have the ladies' ensemble practice today at 4:15. Ladies' fellowship Tuesday the 23rd in pastor's class. Please see Miss Marsha for any details. Project activity inserts, we need those, and still need puppets. Anybody want to be a puppet? Come see this guy. Buenos Aires, 2018 Youth Olympics. Keep that in prayer, please. And ladies who signed for the missions baskets, gifts, please have them in by Wednesday. Thank you. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do want to thank you, Lord, for this day, Father, first of all. And Father, just thank you for just being a merciful and a mighty God and just worthy to be praised, Lord. And Father, we give you the glory. We pray for our pastor and just pray that you be with him as he preaches your word. Father, we pray that you be with the offering and Lord, that we use it for your glory and for your honor. We love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
please pray for us as we sing He Touched Me.
I met this blessed Savior, since He's cleansed and made me whole. I will never cease to praise Him. I'll shout it while eternity rolls. My soul, something happened, and now I know He touched me and made me whole.
Amen. I'm sure thankful today that the Lord intervened in my life. Touched me. In my case, He had to use a 2x4. Get my attention. Do that work. What a work it was. Amen. You can be turning this morning to the Gospel of John chapter 15. I often say this, and I sincerely mean it. Two things, really. First of all, I consider it a great privilege to be the pastor of Metropolitan Baptist Church. It's an honor. It should be Church Appreciation Day, not Pastor Appreciation Month, whatever it is. But secondly, I plead with you for your prayers this morning. I love this passage of Scripture, and have probably put off preaching it far too long because it's a difficult passage in some ways, as you'll see, but a tremendous passage in instructing us on this matter of abiding in the vine. Would you stand with me as we'll begin reading in verse 1 of the Gospel of John in chapter 15. Thank you, Lord, for the Word of God. Amen. I am the true vine, Jesus says, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, He taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, He purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine. No more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine. Ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, ye can do nothing. If a man abide in me, abide not in me. He is cast forth as a branch and is withered. And men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If ye abide in me, my words abide in me, in you. Ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit. So shall ye be my disciples. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue. And the word continues, that same word abide. Same word. Continue or abide ye in my love. If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love. Even as I kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you. And that word remain is that same word. Abide. That my joy might remain or abide in you, and that your joy might be full. Father, bow before you once again. Lord, expressing as best these feeble lips can do, our love for you, our gratitude to you. Lord, please, this day, enter in, deal with our hearts, challenge us where needed, encourage us where that is needed. But Father, I pray that you would deal with each and every one of us. Use your word as it's described here, oh my, to do eternal things, beautiful things. Thank you, Lord, for Jesus. Thank you for that day you touched our lives, drew us savingly to yourself. We love you, Lord, because you first loved us. In Jesus' name, and for his glory, we pray, amen. And amen, of course, you may be seated. 11 times between verses 4 and 11, we find this word abide. It's translated continue. It's translated remain. Same word. Tells me what? It's an important thing. It's a message that the Lord Jesus Christ wants us to get a hold of. And so, certainly, I want to confess to you that I'm continually burdened about my own need of this matter. This abiding presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's through that abiding presence that you and I will have a fruitful life. A fruitful Christian life. Now, what do we mean when we say that? Well, sometimes we get the idea that being fruitful with Christ, for Christ, I should say, is equated with being a soul winner. Well, certainly part of it. Certainly part of being a fruitful Christian. But that's not all there is for being fruitful for the Lord. And I certainly, for one, do want to be used more and more in this matter of seeing folks saved. Seeing folks brought to a saving knowledge of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. But I think we can lose sight of the bigger, the greater picture if we equate fruitfulness only with being a soul winner or winning folks to Christ. True Christian fruitfulness, and I pray you'll have this, but true Christian fruitfulness is Christ-likeness. It's being like Jesus. It's being like Christ. I am most fruitful when I'm most like Him. When I'm most like the Lord Jesus Christ. The more you and I are like Him, the more fruitful we will be. And the more blessed our Christian lives will be. Now, in fact, let me back up just a little bit. As we said, the more we're like Him, the more fruitful we'll be. And we can witness to everyone on this earth planet and not be like Christ. Amen. Stick with me in that. we could witness to every living soul on this planet and not be like Christ, and might I say this, it might be better if you didn't witness. If it's not your goal, not your moment-by-moment desire to be like Jesus. Because your words could be more damage, your life could do more damage than your words do good. Do you understand what I'm saying? People need to see Jesus these days. They need to see a people that are in love with Him, as we've sung this morning. I need, beloved, to be Christ-like. In my love. Love for each other, love for others, love for God. I mean, Christ-like in can I use this word? My disposition. You know, Daniel mentioned that I wasn't going to tell on you. He had a little wrestling match with a commode this week and the commode lost. But we fixed the thing up and I wasn't going to tell on him. He said I didn't get mad at him. Well, of course I'm not going to get mad at him. But I should have known something was going wrong. I was in my office, and I heard something, bing, 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 bing. And I was at a meeting with a couple of other folks and should have thought about what was going on there. You don't pound on a toilet. It just doesn't work out real good. What's our disposition amongst other people? Are we Christ-like in our disposition? Christ-like in grace. I know why. Maybe I haven't said this for a while, so forgive me. I don't want to wear it out. But as a dear Christian brother said to me many, probably 35 years ago, and it stuck with me all this time, I still remember. Some things you don't forget. And he made this statement. And he said, those that have been saved by grace. Is there anybody here been saved by grace? Ought to be gracious. You and I that have been recipients of grace ought to be the first ones to be gracious to others. I need to be Christ-like in a gracious spirit. I need to be Christ-like in our conversation. Oh my. We need to guard our words. That not a word would cross these lips would bring shame to our Lord Jesus Christ. Christ-likeness, even in our words. Christ-like, that's just that in every area of our life. Amen. In every area of our life, might we be like Jesus? You say, well, how do we do that? It's not so hard. Just ask yourself, how would Jesus handle this? How would Jesus deal with this situation? How would Jesus respond in this circumstance? And we pretty much know, don't we? Oh my. John 15, our chapter here, records for us some important instruction from the Lord Jesus on how you and I can be more fruitful. How we can bear, as it says, more fruit or even much fruit. Do you want to be fruitful? To bear fruit. And oh my, we could make a series of messages about this. We're always looking for the key to success in some area. Isn't that the way it is? Tell me how to do this and how I can be successful here or in that. Well, Jesus is telling us in this passage how we can be successful in this matter of being fruitful for Him. And it's not a secret. It's not a secret, indeed. We see here the key for the Christian to live fruitfully. It's not a secret at all. We see, first of all, in this passage, this vine dresser, the vine dresser's care for his vineyard. And in the first verse, the Lord Jesus Christ declares that He's the vine and that His Father is the husbandman. Or the idea is the one who dresses the vines. One who dresses the vine. And we see that Jesus declares that He is the only true vine. I know you're not supposed to say that. But stick with me. It's a truth, is it not? Jesus says twice in this passage that He is the true vine. And then down in verse 5, He says, I am the vine. The vine. And now, There's some question whether what the Lord Jesus is using here is a parable or just maybe a more sophisticated illustration. But when we're looking at this, we have to be careful. You understand? We don't interpret or we don't try to teach doctrine from a parable. A parable is a story to illustrate a biblical principle or biblical truth. And the Lord Jesus is using an illustration here to teach us some valuable, very important truth. Truth. And that's in some way what makes it difficult to interpret this passage without getting ourselves into the muck and the mire. He says, I'm the only true vine. The I Am, the God of the Bible, the I Am declares Himself to be the vine. The vine. God the Father has how many vines? One. One. And Jesus is that vine. Many want to believe that God has all kinds of ways to get to Him. Really? Huh? We want to have our way. And again, we was joking about this a week or two ago. Christianity is not like Burger King. It's not having it your way. It's not our way that matters. It's God's way that matters. And what He declares is what He declares. And it's not for you and I to debate or argue with Him, but to say, yes, Lord. Jesus declared in the previous chapter, John chapter 14, that He was what? The way, the truth, and the life. And what? That no man cometh unto the Father but by Him. How many ways are there to God? One. And again, I'm going to repeat myself again. I'm not complaining about that. I'm thankful that God has been pleased to give us a way to Himself. That He has made the way to Him for a sinful man like me to be cleansed and forgiven of my sin and have the great privilege of becoming a child of God. Oh my. Yes, Jesus is the true vine, and we have this husbandman. He's a sovereign husbandman. He's the one in control. He's the one in control. In verse 2 it says, every branch in me that beareth not fruit He taketh away, and every branch that beareth fruit He purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now again, this can get a little sticky. When we try to sort this all out, what is the Father's occupation here as the Lord describes it? He's the one who cares for the condition of the vine. He cares for the vine. The vine is His Son. Certainly we understand that He cares for His Son. And we see that the vine dresser manages the branches, deals with the branches. And what does He say? Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, He taketh away. Every branch that beareth fruit, He purgeth it. It'll bring forth more fruit. Well, preachers have been getting themselves in a tangle with this verse for millennia. since the Lord Jesus Christ spoke the word. The branches in the illustration are speaking of people. Speaking of two classes of people, two types of people, two categories of people. Those who are in Christ, who is the vine, right? Jesus is the vine. And those, beloved, that are not in Christ. Now stick with me. We see it describes here taking away of the fruitless. Those branches that bear not fruit. Now there's a lot of controversy about this. Is the Lord saying that it's possible for one in Him to be taken away from Him? No, He's not. Scripture does not contradict Scripture. And how are we to interpret a Scripture that we might be struggling with? We interpret it by the rest of Scripture. What does the Bible say about this subject? It would be a contradiction in the Scripture for it, the Bible to say in one place that I'm saved forever and for another place that I could lose that salvation. It would be a contradiction.
we find it in John chapter 4 and verse 14. It says, "But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into..." What kind of life? Everlasting life. What kind of life does that describe? Eternal life. Life without end. Who made that promise? The Lord Jesus Christ did. In John chapter 10 and verse 28, Jesus said there, "And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish." Do you trust Jesus? I trust Him. And I believe what He promises me. He says, "Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand." Just as the Father cares for the vine, Jesus cares for His branches, those that belong to Him. In John chapter 18 and verse 9, it says, "That the saying might be fulfilled which He spake, of them which Thou gavest me, I have I lost none." How many has Jesus lost? None. None. Does Jesus save us forever or not? Well, I'll take His word for it. I believe Jesus. This verse is talking about taking away of the fruitless. Now stick with me, please. Does it refer to a false professor, or does it refer to a believer in some way? In some way. As to the first possibility, I don't think we can get around the statement that Jesus makes. He says, "Every branch in me." Huh? What's that? Who's that? Someone that's saved. Someone that's in Christ. The false professor has never been in Christ. Leads us to believe that the Lord's talking somehow, some way about a believer. Second possibility here is that we're indeed talking about a believer whose life is bearing no fruit. Well, the Cigar and I were talking about this subject. He brought it up. I said, "Brother, hang on. We're going to talk about this in the morning service." This is a believer, beloved, who's not walking in the Lord Jesus Christ. He's not living for the Lord. Maybe just the opposite. We have a lot of Scripture that challenges you and I as Christians to be in a daily, a continual spirit of repentance. Then we get out of sorts with God, what are we supposed to do? Get right with Him. The old timers used to call it keeping short accounts with God. But dealing with things along the way, as God would put His finger on those things. We're to live a consecrated life for the Lord that is fruit-bearing. Bearing fruit for Him. Now, Paul speaks to us, Paul writes to us about one who's not doing that. The one who is not bearing fruit. In 1 Corinthians chapter 11, there's an issue going on there about those that weren't doing right and living right in the Lord, and Christians, but not doing right. And Paul warns the Corinthians, and he says this. He says, "For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep." Wow. He was talking to Christians, and he was talking about that their life, the way they were living, was bringing chastening upon them. Hebrews 12 talks about whom the Lord loveth, He what? Chasteneth. Chastening is not judgment. Chastening is correction. And whom the Lord loveth, He chasteneth. And so we see that the Lord is going to deal with those who are not living for Him. Not living. He says that many are weak and sickly and many sleep. And Paul uses that illustration of sleep, that word sleep, to speak of death at times. Wow. But he goes on and he says this, "For if we would judge ourselves, deal with our own life, what's going on, and deal with that, get it right with God, we should not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world. The Lord doesn't want us to continue. Beloved, a testimony that you're really saved is that God deals with you when you get out of sorts with Him. I worry about folks that never come under the chastening of the Lord. They're living for the devil and nothing seems to be going on. I worry about it, whether they're really saved or not. God won't let us go on in that. And as we look at this, it's certainly a sobering word. But the Lord may see fit to take an unrepentant Christian on home to heaven rather than let them go continue to live in sin. Sobering, isn't it? Sobering indeed. Bottom line, though, and for our passage, it doesn't really impact the message of what the Lord Jesus Christ wants us to get from this illustration. This illustration. We go on, we see the purging of the fruitful. Those that are fruitful, those that are bearing fruit, the Lord will deal with them too, as He describes in verse 2. He purgeth it that it may bring forth more fruit. You know, there's times that I can brag about my tomatoes and there's times that I can't. I work with those vines and I'm finding out that I'm not a very good vine dresser. Right now I'm out there, I'm trying to babe them along. I'm hoping maybe I get some tomatoes before the freeze hits. Before the first frost. I mean, for bragging rights, that I got a tomato all the way into November. But there's work to be done. You got to deal with those vines. I was out there looking at them yesterday, clipping here, breaking there, trying to get the dead stuff out of there. The stuff that wasn't ever going to produce anything. Getting it out of the way and working with this one and working with that one. Aren't you thankful that God works with you? He continues to deal. That word purge there has the idea to clean, to cleanse. It's the idea of that pruning work that goes on, all wrapped up in that word purge. Continues that. All the way. From the moment you were saved to the moment we leave for glory, the Lord's going to continue to deal with this. And what's the process all about? Where we started, making us more and more like Jesus. More and more like the vine. More and more like that vine. Yes. It describes that cleansing process. Now, though, that can be tough at times. It can be tough. You mean when you start clipping away, you think, man, I don't want to hurt the vine. Well, you're not going to hurt the vine. You're going to help the vine in many ways. To make it stronger and able to do what, as the passage describes? Produce more fruit. Produce more fruit. Oh, we can, beloved, greatly err when we desire to be relieved or maybe even relieve someone else of something that's going on in their life. Something's happening in any of your lives. My first tendency is, Lord, please, relieve, take us away. Help them. And indeed, we need His help. We need His... But those things that the Lord may be bringing into our lives may be the very thing that we need. May be the part of that process of the pruning and the cleaning to make us, more fruitful for Him. To produce more fruit for the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, we see, how does He do this? What's the instrument of that cleansing? Verse 3 tells us, and these things will they do unto you. Excuse me, I'm in the wrong chapter. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Chapter 15, verse 3. How are we made clean? We're made clean through the word of God. Through the Word of God. Now stick with me in this. It's very important. How does that work? See, God gave us His Word that we, what? Can know Him better. When I look at one of your Bibles and see that it's getting ragged and rough on the edges and the pages are getting kind of, you know, worn, it makes me feel good. I'm happy when I see that because I know what? You're in your Bible. When your Bible looks all brand new and never touched, that's a bad thing. That's not good. We need to get in God's Word. And when God speaks to us through His Word, we need to take heed. Listen to what He's saying. Act upon what God's Word tells us. As the old preacher said, it's that God didn't give us the 10 suggestions. God's Word is His command to us. You and I are responsible to what? Obey the Word. I think the kids sing a song about that. We should sing it more. Trust and obey. There's no other way. To show that you believe. Obey. The Bible cannot clean. It will not cleanse if it's not applied. If it's not applied. The soap doesn't do any good. We had a little mishap with the tractor out here. Brother Paul, the thing came loose on the tractor yesterday while he was cutting grass. And we had to fetch a couple things to get it fixed. It's not real, that old tractor is not real greasy. But when I went home, guess what? I looked at my hands. I just want everybody to know I do get dirty once in a while. Once in a while, the preacher does get dirty. And took not just some water, but it took some soap to clean them up. And here's God's soap and water for the Christian. We need to apply. It must be applied for it to be effectual. Trying to move along here. We also see, secondly, here the branch's relationship to the vine. And we're getting closer and closer to the main theme of this passage. Verses 4 says this, "Abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine, no more can ye except ye abide in me. I am the vine. Ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, ye can do nothing." You can do nothing. Wow. It's pretty obvious. The essential nature of this union. The union between the branch and the vine. Now, what is the branch? As we read here, verse 6, what's the branch good for without the vine? It's not good for anything but to burn in the fire. Throw it in the fire. Maybe you can cook a biscuit with it or something. Not good for anything but the fire. The essential nature. So being in union with the vine. The branch being in union with the vine. That juice or the sap that the branch receives through that union with the vine is that living force, if you will, that produces the leaves, produces the buds, produces the blossoms, and eventually the fruit itself. The fruit itself. All comes from where? The vine. From the vine. Cut off or removed from the vine, the branch can produce nothing. In fact, I go out there to that tomato vine and I cut a sucker off or trim here or trim there. The moment that it's cut, it's essentially dead. It's removed from the vine. It's removed from its source of life. Its source of life. Wow. That union, beloved, between Jesus Christ and the believer is just as important. Our union to Him. And just as essential as a branch is to the vine. In Himself, as we read here, the believer has no strength to do anything for himself or of himself. No spiritual power. There's no life. Without Christ, Jesus' words, not mine, without Jesus, we can do nothing. Without me, He said, did He not? You can do nothing. You can do nothing. Everything that the believer would do for God is done to the moment by moment continual supply of grace, of help, of ability from the Lord Jesus Christ, who is divine. And without Him, we can do nothing. Unfortunately, I believe there's a lot of Christianity that's trying to produce without Jesus. A lot that's going on in the name of Jesus has nothing to do with Jesus. But that's a message for another day. The believer is joined to Christ how? By grace through faith. It's a relationship of faith. United to Christ through that supernatural union through the Holy Spirit of God. Christ liveth in me. What a beautiful truth it is. Precious truth it is. Because of that, the believer has that position in Christ that we'll look at in a moment. We come to the thrust of this message. And beloved, if we don't get anything else, please get what we will deal with now. We see the blessing of this abiding association with Christ, with the vine. The blessing of the abiding association with the vine. We just read it. Remember, be mindful, as we said, from verse 4 down through verse 11, 11 times that word abide is used, or a form of it. The branch's fruitfulness comes from abiding in Christ. I truly, beloved, need to understand this better. The only way we'll understand it better is by experiencing it more. I have much to learn about what it means to abide in Christ. Abide in Him. We have this abiding relationship in a few ways. It's beautiful. Again, as I lay this out, just stick with me. We'll try to come to a conclusion. But we abide in Christ in at least three fashions. We abide in Christ in relation to place. Abide. When you think of abiding someplace, remaining someplace. What did we say a moment ago? We're in Christ. We're in Him. The Bible teaches that I am seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Wow. I don't understand all that. But I understand this, that in God's miraculous work of this thing we call salvation, He's placed us into His own dear Son. His own beloved Son. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 6 says this, speaking of us, and raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. A position in Him. Wow, what a position. That not only we have that promise of heaven, but that promise of heaven is a reality right now. It's a reality right now, beloved. Why? How can you say that, preacher? Because I'm in Jesus. Because I'm in Christ. Because you're in Christ. We wouldn't change that if we couldn't change that if we wanted to. Who's going to take you from Jesus? Who is going to remove you from the Son of God? Who can take you away from the One that spoke this universe into existence? Huh? Sounds like I'm pretty safe in Him. Dear friend, we need to nurture that truth to our hearts. Love that truth. Love the fact that you're in Christ. Abide in Him. But secondly, we abide in Christ not only in reference to place, but in reference to time. In reference to time. We learn from the Scripture that nothing present nor nothing to come, according to Romans chapter 8, verse 29, can separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. We abide in Him in reference to time. In reference to God says, the Bible declares that you and I have been sealed unto the day of redemption. Huh? Abide in Christ. For how long? Forever. Enjoying the reality of the place we're in Him. In Christ. And sealed in Him. What does it mean? What does that mean to you? Isn't it precious? Does it communicate to your heart the joy, the peace that enables us to abide? We'll talk more about that in a moment. But to abide. To abide in Christ forever. That ought to do something for us. As Jesus has committed Himself to you, to us. His promise, remember, His promise is, I will never leave you nor forsake you. But a third area in which we can abide, and it has reference to my condition. We abide in Christ in reference to our condition. Again, where do we go to find out about this? The Bible. What's the Bible says? The Word of God tells the believer that we are a child of God. We're in Christ in heavenly places. We're in Christ forever and ever, sealed unto the day of redemption. But not only that, I'm God's child. Because of Jesus, because we abide in the vine. In fact, the Bible says in Romans that I'm not only a child of God, I'm an heir of God. Not just an heir. Not just a, hey, it's great to be in on the inheritance. But not only that, I'm a joint heir with Christ. Wow. A joint heir with Christ. Yes. We've been saved. Means that we have the righteousness of Christ. Our condition. When you receive Christ, He cleansed you of all unrighteousness. He took His sin upon you and imputed to you His righteousness. You're as righteous as Jesus. Wow. My condition. My condition. None of this, beloved, is possible outside of Christ. Amen. All that we have and are in Christ is because of Christ. And because of that, we can be fruitful. Now, to get a handle on this word abide, what do you do to abide? Let us think in a second. What do you have? Can we abide more? Can we abide less? Can I work harder to abide? I'm just going to abide. I'm going to do everything I can to abide here in the vine. No, it doesn't make it. Abiding has to do with the idea of resting. I'm in the vine. How did I get in the vine? How did I get in the vine? And you're my case. Romans teaches us that we were grafted in. We weren't even natural branches. But God was pleased to graft us in to His vine. There's nothing I can do to be more grafted in. Why? Because Jesus did all the work. In relation to place, I'm in Christ. In relation to time, He saved me forever. Amen. My condition, I have the righteousness of Christ. We abide in Him. We rest in what Jesus has done for us. Again, as a branch, it just is attached, abiding in the vine. And enjoys, because of that, all that it receives from the vine. Is it great? I'm so thankful for what God has done for me. What God has done for you. And I just want to very, very quickly look at the results of this. What's the result of simply abiding in the vine? Just very quickly, look at verse 7. Jesus said, "If ye abide in me and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what you will and it shall be done unto you." The blessing of this abiding is God hears your prayers. He hears and answers prayer. Through abiding, God is glorified. Look at verse 8. "Herein is my Father glorified." Through our abiding in Him. "Herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit. So shall ye be my disciples," my followers. God's glorified. But not only that, in verses 9 and 10, we see that there's a spirit of love in God's vineyard, in His vine. Verse 10, it says, "As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue," or "abide ye in my love. If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in His love." Oh, yes. In this beautiful relationship of abiding in Christ, there's this wonderful spirit of love. Spirit of love. But there's also joy. It goes on and on, beloved. Verse 11, "These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain or abide in you, and that your joy might be full." Where are you going to look for the joy? Where can we replace the joy that is ours in Christ? The joy of the Lord is ours because of that abiding relationship in Christ. And we could go on. There's a sacrificial love that's developed because of that. In verses 12 and 13, the obedience of the Word of God, we've already seen that. But in verse 14, it's reiterated. Verse 15 speaks of how that God, through this abiding presence, will give us an understanding of His truth. Is this abiding thing important? Oh my, yes. Abiding in Christ. Why don't we learn more of this abiding in Christ, continuing in Him, remaining, going on in Him. And we began the whole thing mentioning this message this morning, mentioning soul winning even. I think it's our heart's desire to see folks saved. See them delivered. We've been talking about the Youth Olympics and the team that's there to hand out gospel tracts. I mean, thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars have been spent. Probably somewhere in the neighborhood of $50,000 or more has been spent in this initial, just getting there and getting the tracts there. We want to see folks saved. me ask you, a hypothetical question, whatever that means. Do you think someone that's truly abiding in Christ, where Christ, the vine, is supplying all that you and I as the branches need, do you think those ones are going to see folks drawn to the vine, to Jesus? Oh, yes, I believe that. You see, this world will see that fruit as it shows up in you. That fruit of Christ-likeness. That fruit, hey, as we sang earlier, of that changed life. Are you thankful that you're not the person that you were before God saved you? Huh? There's not a day I don't get up and thank God that I'm not the man I was before Jesus, as we heard sung earlier, touched me. Oh my, He's still touching up on me. Yes, beloved, the more you're like Jesus, the more you'll draw folks to Him. The more you resemble Christ, the more folks are going to want Him. Because they're going to see in human form, walking on two legs, if you will, the Lord Jesus Christ. A changed life. It's the most powerful testimony that God's been pleased to leave on this earth planet. And if you're here today, oh my, if you're here today and you've never been saved, you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ, then oh, there's a few things I'd say. First of all, I'm sorry that I don't reflect Jesus better. But I do want to commend Jesus Christ to you. He's a wonderful God. He's a wonderful Savior. And He's one that will change your life. In what way? In every way. Huh? Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. God's vine. Let's stand together. Father, we thank You today. And Lord, I know, even as I pray, I realize that it's so hard to do justice to these beautiful words from the lips of our Lord Jesus Christ. So Lord, would You pick up, would you deal with the frailties, the weakness of the preacher's flesh, and communicate that message, the message of this abiding presence of our Savior, to abide in Him, to enjoy Him, enjoy all that we have in Him, as we rest in Him, continue with Him, go on with Him. Lord, please, across this auditorium, I don't know what needs are this morning, but would You be pleased to do beautiful, beautiful things in lives, accomplish eternal things. Lord, I pray for those that might be here without Christ. Lord, I don't know their heart. But Lord, please, might they see Jesus and what He's done for them to save them, to cleanse them, to forgive them of all sin, to grant unto them His own righteousness. Lord, we love You. Thank You for Your love for us. In Jesus' lovely name, amen. Brother John.
Page 534.
Amen. As we sing, beloved, please just obey the Lord. I don't know what He might be speaking to your heart, but please just do what He tell you to do. Of course, these altars are open. They're here for you. Make use of as the Lord would direct, please. Might it be our desire to just be more like Jesus, to abide in Him. His love would abide in us. His Word would abide in us. His life would abide in us. As we sing.
Search me, O God, and know my heart today. Try me, O Savior, know my thoughts, I pray. Some wicked way in me, cleanse me from every sin and set me free. I praise thee, Lord, cleansing me from sin. Fulfill thy word and make me pure within. Fill me with fire where once I burned with shame. Grant my desire to magnify thy name. Lord, take my life and make it wholly thine. Fill my poor heart with thy great love divine. Take all my will, my passion, self, and pride. I now surrender, Lord, in me abide. Oh, Holy Ghost, revival comes from thee. Send a revival, start the work in me. Thy word declares thou wilt supply our need. For blessings now, O Lord, I humbly plead.
We do need revival. Need revival to start right inside here. Not looking to someone else, not looking to my neighbor, but to look within ourselves and what God needs to deal with us about. What is the Lord? Please purge me, cleanse me. Deal with me, whatever, in whatever way, whatever fashion you need to be. Why? That I might be more like Him. I might be more like Jesus. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord, your mercies. Brother John, would you come, please?
To Victory in Jesus as our course this month. It's page 351 if you need the words.
Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior, forever He sought me and bought me with His redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew Him, and all my love is due Him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing flood.
You're dismissed.